myself will be helping us to open up this passage a little bit later in the service, but we're going to read it now. But we ought always to give thanks for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
The Church in Troubled Times. We're going through a series looking at 2 Thessalonians and what Paul is telling to this church in troubled times in Thessalonica. We heard about praying through trials. Crispin brought that to us. Last week we saw God's power revealed. Steve brought that to us. Today we have strengthened to do right. And next week we go on to the end of that particular letter. There's something in the air tonight. Something in the breeze. Whistling around the chimney stacks. Bustling through the trees. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? You just get the impression that something is happening in the church. After 2 years of being locked away, in one sense, we're now having to find new ways of delivering the message. But you just get the feeling that there's something going on in the church. Steve said that people have been saying, why don't we sing the old hymns? I've noticed that the old hymns are coming back. Down at New Life, and I watch their worship usually on a Sunday morning. And my own daughter's church, Grace Vineyard, Purley. And even here as well. We sing the old hymns because the old hymns have something solid to say. There's one particular chorus that they sing, or have sung, that contains the line, or the words, sloppy wet kiss, with regard to God. Well, come on. We know what it means, we know what it means. He is our Father, a loving Father. But you just think with certain choruses, couldn't you have tried harder? Anyway. As Steve was telling us, the letters of the Thessalonians were the first of Paul's letters. We're almost certain of that. Written about 50 AD, which is about 20 years after Jesus lived and died. And there were a church who felt and believed that Jesus Christ was coming back in power very soon. And actually in the first letter, 1 Thessalonians, the end of each chapter mentions the second coming of Christ. Because we say at Easter, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And he did live and die. And he did rise from the dead. And for 40 days he taught his disciples what it all meant, what his ministry meant. It wasn't just telling lovely little parables and stories and healing people. That there was a reason, there was a work that he came to do. He returned to heaven. And this Thursday is Ascension Day, just in case you didn't know that. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he was talking to his disciples. And then he ascended up to go back to his Father. And that happens this Thursday, and 10 days after that. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell and empower his followers. And he sent them out to spread the resurrection message throughout the known world. We know that when Jesus was talking to his disciples, that he said, wait in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. Just wait. Because you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, spreading the resurrection message throughout the known world. What on earth was left? What on earth was left? But, as we know, in 2022, it was not in the Father's plan to send his Son back in power so soon. Because there was a lot of work to be done. There was a lot of known and unknown world to reach with the good news. So these Thessalonian Christians, they just felt that Jesus was coming back, and they expected him any day. But we know that God's plan is that Jesus will come. Well, one just feels, are we in the last days now? Because there have been so many last days when people have felt that Jesus surely must come back. But surely, all the signs, wars, and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, floods. What on earth is left? So what did Paul want to remind the Thessalonian Christians of? And what does he want to remind us of? Now we've looked through the service, the passage that we are looking at, bringing out some great points, and I just want to touch back on them. Firstly, we are loved by God. And we ought always to thank God for you, says Paul. Brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits from the beginning to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We are loved by the Lord. And one of my favourite verses from 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Now, I apologise. I'm going to speak some Greek. Bring some Greek in. Because I like what the Greek says here. And from the old version. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And the Greek says, and we are. Translators make, and that is what we are. But the Greek says that God showed his love by showing that we are his children. And we are. No ifs, no ands, no buts. We are God's children. It's an expression of God's love. Paul in Romans, whenever we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And we are. That's something we just have to hold on to. You have to grab hold of and hold on to. Because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we're tempted. Do we really have a relationship with God? Is he really our Heavenly Father? Well, yes, he is. He is our Heavenly Father because we are his children. Firstly, Paul shows that we are loved by God. Secondly, we're chosen by God. From the beginning, God chose you to be saved. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning, or as first fruits, taking another translation of the Greek, oh, I said Greek again, the Greek words. God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. From the beginning, God chose you to be saved. And the word really means chosen. Choose with delight or love. It wasn't a case of, who should I choose? Oh, they'll do. Steve will do. Crispin will do. Neil will do. No. Rather than anything better. Sorry about that. No, God chose us. Chose with delight and love. He delighted to choose us to be saved. For he, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he was talking to the Ephesian Christians. For he, God the Father, chose us in him, Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, and predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether you have any problems with free will or predestination. it's a arguing point. But the two are correct. We are predestined to freely choose to have that relationship with God. We freely choose to have a relationship that God has predestined for us before the beginning of time. And it's important to understand that God is outside of time. It's a very difficult concept. We're bound by time. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. What you're going to be doing next week? We just had that section. But God is above it all. Remember that he said to Moses from the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Not I am, I was, I will be. God is the great I am. Whatever we are, whatever is happening to us next week, he's there. Whatever was happening to us yesterday, he was there. Whatever is happening in our hearts today, he's there. Because he's outside of time. So have no problems about free will or predestination. They're both correct. Firstly, we're loved by God. Secondly, we're chosen by God. And thirdly, we're called by God. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits, or from the beginning, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called. We are called by God. An invitation to the duties, privileges, and bliss of the Christian life here and hereafter. I think I'll repeat that. It's rather good, isn't it? An invitation to the duties, privileges, and bliss of the Christian life here and hereafter. I'm thinking of calling. I should have thought of the calling of the first disciples. Jesus walking along the lakeside and finding Simon and Andrew struggling with their nets in the boat, and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then going further on, he saw those sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he called them, follow me. But follow me. He wasn't sort of getting a bunch of buddies together. You know, it's going to be a bit lonely going around preaching and healing people and teaching. I need a few friends around me. Who can I choose? Oh, they'll do. No, it was, he, He prays in John 17, thanking God for those who God has given him, who gave those that the God the Father gave him before time began to follow. I'm sure Lord of the Dance is a good song, nice song. But it gives the impression of Jesus as a kind of a Pied Piper, piping away, and the disciples are following on. No, it was follow me, get invested in the ministry, understand what it's all about, understand why I came, understand why I died, why I rose from the dead, why I explained to you, why I'm going back to the Father, why I'm sending the Holy Spirit to be in you and working with you. So this call is not to follow Jesus just. And I suppose there can be that temptation, can't there? We're following Jesus. Well, your life doesn't say so. I'm not talking about anybody here. But but it is possible that someone can say, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, I think it should show in your life, you know. We are loved by God. We are chosen by God. We are called by God. And lastly, Paul wants to remind us that we must stand firm. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm and hold on to the teachings we passed on to you. Stand firm means be established, confirmed, enduring in a permanent position. We know what standing firm means. Remember Paul writing to the Ephesian Christians when he talks about the armor of God. When the devil comes against you, stand firm against him. And after you have done everything, to stand. Fighting to a standstill. Fighting to a standstill. We just think of the situation what goes from you? Russia and... Thank you. Russia and Ukraine. Those fighters. We don't know what the end is going to be. We don't know what the news is. We don't know where Russia is in dominance and where they're holding back. But the Ukrainians and their president said, stand firm. And after you've done everything, stand. Now, I suddenly thought that if we know what we stand for, we'll know what we fall for. If we know what we stand for, we'll know what we fall for. If we're standing firm, then we know why we're standing firm. And we know that if we don't stand firm, what the result of that will be. And Paul wants to remind us and remind the Thessalonian Christians. Stand firm. You're going to experience tribulation. You're going to experience problems. You're going to experience persecution. But stand firm. and hold to the teachings. And for me, that's a very important part. Stand firm, yes, but hold to the teachings. Hold to the scriptures. Somebody once, one preacher, waving his black leather-clad floppy Bible, as you have to have as a preacher, said, I believe in the Bible from cover to cover, including the covers. Well, it's not a bad attitude to take. We have to know what we believe. We have to know what the scriptures say. I was telling Crispin that the story is that during the Second World War, when the men went off to war, some pastors went off either to fight or to be chaplains, and left the ladies behind. The ladies, bless them. Sorry about that. And one lady preacher said, I just have so many 3 points. What the Bible says, what the Bible means, and what the Bible means to us. Can't say further than that. We need to know our Bible. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits, or from the beginning, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this, through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And this passage ends, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Now some people have a spell checker. I have a sermon checker. She's called Rachel, my daughter. Who you know, she drums. She's an excellent drummer, percussionist, and has other musical skills as well, as well as other skills. And I've taken recently to letting her see the notes of the sermons and saying, what do you think? I said, don't say that. No, don't say that. No, cut that out. End with that. She is my sermon checker. And she said that the best thing to end with is this phrase. We need to know what we believe. And we need to believe what we know. Amen.